Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, guys. You are listening to Confessions of a Pretty Hot Chick After Dark. I am Alicia Marie Rivers, and I'm here with one of my besties, astro-numerologist Lloyd Strayhorn.
How are you?
I am terrific, sweetheart. You guys were just listening to Jill Scott's I'm Prettier. I'm prettier when I let it go, let it go. I love that song. A really, really good friend of mine, very special to me. Had me listen to that, and it's literally one of my top three songs that I have to hear.
And Let It Go is much easier.
Yes, it is. I have to hear
that
song.
Drag you down.
I know, and I have to hear that song at least, well, at least once every other day.
Right?
Exactly. Guys, thank you for tuning in tonight's show. We are talking about letting go. We're talking about how our emotions are hurting us. When and how do we let go of our pain, our frustration, our disappointment, our anger, so that it no longer costs us peace or love? So it,
how true.
I know. So tonight's show is going to be, we're going to get a little deep, guys. So any questions or comments, please give us a call at 646-787-1620. Again, 646-787-1620. And you know what, Lloyd? I am going to ask you, because you are the numero uno astro-numerologist.
How true.
I would love to know if, for example, certain signs are more, are easier to letting go of things? Like, which signs may tend to hold more of a grudge or tend to hold on to things longer? But we can get into that in the next, you know, the next segment of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I was about to say
next
right
time.
Now.
No. Let's save that for later. But in light of, we were just watching President Obama's town hall meeting.
It was excellent.
Wow.
Excellent. And you know, the irony is, ever since he has become our president and was sworn in 2009, every time there's been an incident of whatever the case of mass shootings, they always ask him to come forward. I can't remember any other president, whenever these things have occurred, where that particular president at that point in time has always asked to come forward to explain things.
I so agree with you. What's up with that?
Well, the man looks totally different than the 240 years of U.S. history that has taken place before then. That's what it is, okay?
So true. But what was one of the things that you took away from this program, from the town hall meeting?
Well, one of the things is that the president, and see, he's the president of the United States, but he's also a man of color. And sometimes I think that we feel that, well, because he is of African-American descent, that therefore he is to take sides. But any president really is supposed to look at both sides of the equation. But it is true. They have found that people of color in our communities are more receptive and more helpful to policemen for those who treat us with the same respect. Anytime you mistreat anybody, these are the results you're going to get. And I think what happens is, Alicia, that when you have a few, as they say, bad apples, it kind of paints a picture that maybe all policemen are like that. I think it's very interesting that any time these things occur with the shooting of a Gastille and others, that they want to know about us rioting or is it about peaceful. But yet we're trying to figure out, when are we going to be treated peacefully, too? It's a two-way street, okay?
That it is.
And so once that is done, I think you'll get a better result.
Okay. I'll agree with you there. I so enjoyed the president's town hall meeting. One of the things that he said that I firmly believe is that we all carry assumptions about other people.
That is true.
So, you know, I saw a video where a cop, well, I'm sorry, more than one cop, they shot a young Caucasian male. And they asked him to, they wanted to see both of his hands. And, you know, he had one of his hands behind his back. And they did ask him. And I believe they asked him more than once. And they shot him.
Well,
now, with that, that could have been fear for them. And I'm sure it was. You know, I'm not a cop, never been a cop, never had that experience. But I can only imagine in that scenario, you're thinking that he could have a gun. He could have some sort of weapon behind.
So you know, that's the only thing. If there can be some, you know, it's interesting. There was this panel that keeps dragging Hillary Clinton back about a couple of people that were killed at an embassy abroad. What about them taking the same attitude about X number of youngsters that are killed and all the guns that are proliferating? Do you know there are more guns than people in the entire United States of America? That's an issue. What is that mindset? There was a dramatic shooting that took place in Australia. They squashed guns, period. They've never had no more problems as they have at all. They do this in London. They do this everywhere except in this country.
But look, let me tell you what a friend of mine said yesterday. We're having a discussion about, you know, with the whole shootings and everything, and we were talking about some things that could be done. he said, and this is hilarious. So for those of you, if you don't have a sense of humor, oh well. But
work with it. You'll be all right.
But he said, you know, one of the things that we could do, because it is our constitutional right, the second one. Second constitutional right to bear arms. So he was saying we should all go get registered to have a firearm.
If all men of color United States go to apply for the right to carry arms, then the people in Washington would definitely curb it.
I believe so. I truly believe so.
And this is what gave birth to the Black Panther Party in California, the right to bear arms. And then at that time, then Ronald Reagan saw these brothers, Huey Newton and whatnot, walking around, and they had the rights to carry guns, shotguns, and whatever the case is, and laws were passed. But then when it comes to men of color who have, such as the brother Gastille, he had a right to carry a gun, spotless reputation, job, although they always want to know about our jobs and or do we have a criminal
history? I know.
One has nothing to do with the other. But that is, I think, therefore the justification. Oh, well, he must have a criminal record. I remember one time there was a woman, a church-going woman, whose home was broken into one Sunday, and it was a case of a mistaken identification. And I think she died of a heart attack and stuff. They went to see if she had a criminal record. So, I mean, there's something in the mindset of whoever it is, call it whoever, where because something is done, therefore, it's either justified, in the case of the guy in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, one of the reporters wanted to know, well, was he physical? Therefore, was that the reason, although the film showed definitely he wasn't physical at all.
Right.
But therefore, if he was physical, then maybe he brought it upon himself. So when it comes to those, when it comes to those things, either we are supposed to have a criminal record, or and they will check for this too. As if it is to justify where other people who want to rationalize, you know, it was an interesting thing. There was a piece on Facebook, and the woman, I forget her name, a white woman, and she was talking to a white group, and she says all of those who would like to experience the Black experience stand up. Nobody stood up.
Interesting.
Because they all knew that, yeah, I got it this way, but people of color don't have it that way.
Jesus, that is so interesting. Which baby leads me into this whole thing about letting go, because we get so frustrated, we get so angry. And I say to myself, you know, sometimes we allow our emotions, more often than not, to affect us negatively. You know, there are people that overreact to things. That, for example, the gentleman, I'm sorry, let me not call him a gentleman because he wasn't a gentleman, but the shooter in Dallas that shot and killed the 5 cops.
Mm-hmm.
I understand your anger. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But was that the right course of action? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No. But imagine if more brothers had that mindset like that.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
There would be. But there is a lot. You know, it's interesting. If you were to look at the earlier clips of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and those in that genre, it was always the police, housing, education, jobs, and fast forward about 40, 50 years practically.
Mm-hmm.
It's still about the police, housing, education. The better the education of its citizens, the better the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So a lack of education, and let me tell you this, if you have a person, even with no education, guess what? He still needs to feed his family.
Right.
He's still going to do the best he can.
Right.
And so therefore sometimes, and this is not used to justify it as so much as when you break a man's leg and you call him a cripple, as Malcolm X said one time, then it creates these kind of things, and people will do whatever they have to do. But unemployment is high. In fact, in New York City, they were saying that among African-American men, about 49% of the males are unemployed, which means for every 2 brothers you see on the street, one of them has no job. That's exactly what that's saying. So
that's
how do they make ends meet if you can't work or whatever? So it's these kinds of things.
Well, we are in such a state right now, and I believe that with everything that has gone on, and I said this, I believe, on Facebook, that it's time to kind of look within. Well, let me say this straight out, because, you know, I posted something and it got really interesting comments.
Hit a nerve.
Right.
That's what it means.
A friend of mine, you know, her comment kind of threw me, and I said, well, you know what, they're sharing. Let's get some share. Everyone's entitled to their opinion or whatever. And I said to myself, wow, you know, of course, first and foremost, you know, with the shootings of Sterling and Philando, I want accountability.
Yes, we do.
I want accountability. That's what I want.
Yeah.
First and foremost, accountability. Those police officers that shot them and killed them deserve to be punished. They should be punished. So let me say that right out, which I don't believe I should have to.
And that doesn't mean that, therefore, all policemen are
exactly
like that.
Exactly. Now, with that aside, as President Obama said, and I believe that there's a bigger picture here. And I said it earlier, you know, as I quoted him about we all carry assumptions about other people.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, these feelings that we have, this anger, this resentment, and we want something done, and something should be done, and we should all kind of get together and band together. And I support, I love Black Lives Matter. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
Although there's some politics at play, it's actually going to try to make Black Lives Matter defined as a terrorist group. Pick up on that.
Yeah, but that's just crazy. I think some people are just stupid.
That is the idiocy.
Really?
And that is the psychological fear.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're instilling fear in people who are not African American, who are not people of color, to say, wait a minute, Black Lives Matter. Oh my God, this is going to be an issue. No. But they're doing that to get that fear. So then now it's like Black Lives Matter is not good.
Right.
It's not beneficial to anything, which is crazy. But let me say this way. With letting go, and this is what we're talking about, letting go of those fears, bear with me for a moment, because as a life coach, as a confidence coach, one of the things that I help with my clients is rewiring the brain. You kind of have to rewire your brain, see, because your unconscious is always listening,
mm-hmm.
always. When people say certain things, do certain negative things, and you allow it to live in your subconscious, guess what? It becomes your conscious. So we act as we think.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think you're a certain way, that's how you're going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It's clear as day. Now, what I, and I'm going to say this, what we believe is based on our perceptions. And what we perceive depends upon what we look for. So if there's a cop, and I say this because it's relevant right now, if there's a cop, because of your perception about cops,
mm-hmm.
you're going to think, oh, my God, there's going to be a fear there as an African-American. Second, as a cop, that your perceptions about black men,
mm-hmm.
you're going mm-hmm. to act out on what those perceptions are. So with that being said, let me carry on. What we believe is based on our perceptions. What we perceive depends upon what we look for. And what we look for depends upon what we think.
Well, they say if you look for something, you find it.
Absolutely. You'll find it. So, again, what you believe is based on your perceptions. What you perceive depends upon what you look for. And what you look for depends upon what you think. So if you guys truly think about that, in addition to keeping in mind that we all carry assumptions
mm-hmm.
about each other, maybe it's time now, as President Obama said, is to be more aware. Be more aware of your perception. Be more aware of what you're looking for and why.
Yeah.
Be more aware of your thoughts. I believe that change first starts with us.
Well, yes, it's true, but also I think if you talk to most men of color, they will tell you that there's always this experience. If we, for example, there was some famous basketball player looking at a store. I think it was a fitness store. And they thought that because he was looking, therefore, there was trouble. That is the perception. If I walk too close behind a white individual, and especially a woman, they will clutch their bags.
Absolutely. Her perception.
Listen, and for those that listen to the town hall, President Obama himself has been stopped.
Yes.
He says in one case, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But imagine that 10 years old, a white woman didn't want to get on the elevator with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this perception. So white people have a lot of growing up to do. We have it too.
Yes, Lord.
But they have it even more so because of all the stereotyping. I had a client years ago where they were boosters in stores.
Mm-hmm.
One was white. He was of color. And they would go in together because they knew that they would follow him around while his white counterpart was boosting everything.
You know, there's a scene, baby, in I love Malcolm X, Lord, but there's a scene in the movie Malcolm X that Spike Lee did. Where, remember, he was in jail, and
mm-hmm.
guy in jail told him, here, look at the dictionary. And he went through and learned every word in the dictionary, learned their meaning, right?
Yep.
And when it got to white, the definition of white, pure, innocent,
oh, yeah.
black,
evil, dark, sinister.
Yeah,
it's like, all the psychosomatic things, and that's why people of color are portrayed negatively all over the world.
Yes, we are. And I wonder, where does this come from? Because if you go back to, in history, slavery, where did this notion come from, this fear of us? Where did this notion come from that we're thieves? Where did this notion come from? First of all, it was planted, in my opinion alone, it had to be planted.
No,
because
well,
that
you
time,
got
what?
Two opinions. That's right, too. And, you know, and there was a point in time where we were described as being shiftless and lazy.
Absolutely.
Well, Malcolm
yeah.
X said there was a point where we would work to can't see in the morning.
Right.
Until you can't see at night.
Exactly. So when
and that's a 12, 13-hour day.
It's like these perceptions, you know, your
yeah.
thought patterns. They come from somewhere. And, again, to be more aware of those thoughts. Like, for example, why do you feel that? Why do you feel that black men, there's a threat? Why?
Yeah,
why do
yeah.
you feel that way? Because we've all had that, right? I've
yeah.
gone into certain places, and my first thought was, uh-oh. my perception. Same thing when I see someone of Middle Eastern descent.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I'm aware of that, and I check it quickly.
Well, exactly right, because I will stand behind on the line whether the person is white or whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
and in whatever problems they have, that's their issue. Maybe there's a little guilt behind it that they need to examine, self-examination themselves. Because all black people are not bad, like all white people are not bad. But people of color seem to acknowledge that, where people on the other side tend to think, the gentleman, the educated up in Boston, mm-hmm. that was arrested for being in his own house.
Wow.
Lewis, I forgot his last name, but people know.
Wow.
And this is an educator. Somebody called saying so-and-so, but we are always stereotyped. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, this month on the 25th marks the birthday of Emmett Till,
mm.
who was killed
in
Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly he was talking or whistled at this
right.
white woman who owned the store there.
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't know was he was a stutterer. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yes. And as a result, lost his life. So when they brutalized his body and everything, that's why his mother had an open casket, to show the ugliness, the brutality. And by the way, that store in Money, Mississippi went out of business because the people in the black community no longer spent their money there.
Mm, that's one thing that we need to do. We need to
be careful
show our
or be
power.
Conscious of where we spend our money.
Exactly.
The dollar bill is the god in this country.
Yes, it is. That has nothing to do with black or white.
Yeah.
It's green.
Yeah.
Right?
And once we become sophisticated in our spending habits, where we spend our money,
and our thinking,
you will find that a lot of things will change.
Right. And it first starts with our thinking. Guys, we're talking about letting go of disappointments, fear, pain, doubt, negativity, toxic people, relationships. At the end of the day, it starts with how you think.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really does. And letting go, I know it's tough to let go. Sometimes, you know, you get angry about something, you're hurt about something, and you want to hold on to that. And it's stuff that could have happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago in some cases. But there was a quote that a friend of mine told me, and I love this quote. This is one of my new favorites. Every day I have a favorite. But this one has lingered.
That's a favorite of the favorites,
right?
Right?
My favorite. And the quote is, why are you performing CPR on a dead issue? Why?
That makes sense. When you think
why
about it.
Why are you trying to revive it?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, it can be tough, but it can be done. And in light of everything that's been going on, this town hall meeting, I believe, is a step in the right direction in terms of healing,
mm-hmm.
because we all should kind of take a step back and think, again, the officers should be punished. I have to keep saying that. They should be punished. However, we need to now, because in light of everything that's going on, we need to stop, sit back, kind of think and look in the mirror and see what you can do to change.
Well,
influence change.
Well, that is true.
Be the change you wish to see. I firmly believe that. Be the change you wish to see. I signed a couple of petitions in the last week with
mm-hmm.
everything going
mm-hmm.
on. And the last thing I signed was pledging to support Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There's another organization called MoveOn.org.
MoveOn.org, yes.
And I said, you know what? I want to see more tolerance. I want to see more patience. I want to see more love. I want to see more light. I
mm-hmm.
want to see more, I would say forgiveness, but you don't necessarily have to forgive someone to heal. And just because you don't forgive that person doesn't necessarily mean that you hold any ill will against them. Okay, so let me just say that. Let me just.
No, but you know what also is very interesting?
Mm-hmm.
With last week's killing of Gastille and Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the shooting of the 5 police officers in
Dallas. Oh, my heart goes out
Dallas.
To their families. Oh, my God.
Yes,
uh-huh.
And President Obama made a point, whether they're children of color, Latino, white, or whatever, children are still children, and they all lost their fathers.
I know,
but
my heart
I just
goes
think
out
it was interesting how with the 5 policemen that were killed,
mm-hmm.
such was the special treatment given to them. It's almost as if a policeman's life has more value than Brother Sterling's life, or Brother Gastille's life.
Yeah,
life is still life,
exactly,
regardless.
Exactly.
And why don't we take that same protection? Why don't we go into the background of Sterling, who had five children, that because probably, again, employment, and therefore the lack of employment, what he has to do to hold it down? Sell some CDs. He's been selling CDs in front of the convenience store for years.
Mm-hmm.
So
such
you mean
wonderful.
The police, if on their patrol, mm-hmm. don't know who this guy is? That even if the police get a call of saying there's a man with a gun,
wow.
that when they roll up on this, oh, that's Brother Sterling. He's always been here. He's selling CDs. It can't be him. You know what I'm saying? If you got a gentleman like Pablo Gastille,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying his first name wrong,
mm-hmm.
who has a spotless reputation, worked since he was 19, everybody loved him wherever he goes, and he even says in advance, I am licensed to carry a gun to be shot
mm-hmm.
and thus taken. Where's the background? Yes, they've done some background, but it was with the five police officers. And yes, their lives are very, very important, but you know what? On the other side of that equation, so was Sterling.
I so
and
agree
so
with
Gastille.
You, baby. I so.
And we have it both ways. And you know, interestingly enough, Chris Rock, the comedian, one time said about if we charge money for bullets, every time you shot a bullet, it costs you some money,
mm-hmm.
then people maybe be less inclined to shoot one another.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that a lot. In light of everything that's going on, I want to come back to, you know, topic at hand in terms of letting go. Do you know that if you don't let go, if you hold on to those negative feelings, I mean, I don't think people really understand how much our emotions harm us. It harms our peace of mind. It harms if you're looking for a loving relationship. It harms that as well, because who wants to be around like a sad Sue or an angry Sue? Who wants to be around anyone like that? And it's detrimental to your health, to your spiritual health, your physical health.
Well, you know, knowing that and the fact that when we have the good fortune of having Margot Drucker join us every Thursday, and then the fact that you've taken your skills to the next level where you're now a life coach and things of that nature, actually the whole nation is in need of therapy.
Yes.
The entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And it isn't a bad, therapy is not a bad word. Because
no, it's not.
What I teach and what Margot teaches are tools that could help heal. First of all, could help rewire your brain so that you think differently. That means your perceptions change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means the way you view things change, the way you view people change, but more importantly, you change, because it's really about peace.
Everything starts within.
Right. It's really about peace. I believe love prevails, whether it is love of self, love of people, love of
mm-hmm.
family,
mm-hmm.
love of your community.
Yeah.
You know, love of life, love of liberty. Very important. Caller, you're on the line. Thank you for waiting. But, baby, what are your thoughts about what we're talking about in terms of letting go?
Well, I think everything is – hello, first of all, I'm on?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Hello, Alicia.
Joining us, because your input is always of value.
Hello, Lloyd. Yes. I think sometimes everything in moderation, I think that some of the tools that I think that Lloyd and Alicia is talking about is being able to kind of manage yourself. There are times where you have to kind of let things go, and there's times that you have to act. So I think it's a combination. I think that we definitely need management skills. Because some of the things that's happening to us is kind of like overpowering our family and economics and political things that are happening, and then living in racist America. So we definitely need tools, because we try to do it ourselves, and not all of us are trained or equipped. And so there's definitely a benefit of letting go. There's a benefit of knowing how to act, not to get too emotional, but to have skills that if you do act, you act effectively. You act without emotion. You act with purpose and a mission. And I think that coaching and training and even tools about knowing ourselves, that's some of the things that Lloyd teaches. And I think what Alicia and Marco is teaching is management skills. So I think that we need it all. So we're definitely in a period where we have to heal, but we also have to act.
Okay, Reggie, I so agree with you that we do have to act. Everything that you said, well put, by the way, and I agree with you that with what's going on right now, you do have to know yourself. Absolutely. And you do, there are tools that can help you heal so that when you do act, you act without emotion.
Yes. In fact, speaking of emotions, I would like to ask you, what is it you think about the so-called origin and movement of the Black Lives Matter that's causing the kind of fear or paranoia or misperception of its origin?
Well, I mean, people don't know a lot about me. I do a lot of activism. I am in the category that Alicia says angry, but I'm not angry. I'm very action oriented, and I am not a direct supporter of Black Lives Matter for a lot of different reasons, because we don't know who is in the leadership of Black Lives Matter. We understand the concepts. It's easy for us to latch on to themes. I do think that they want change, but I do also think that they are misdirected. And misdirected means that the number one problem in our community besides poverty is crime and violence. And if they take on the NRA, that would be good, because it's the guns that's killing us. It was guns involved in this Dallas situation. It's guns involved in these police shootings. But just to kind of rally, what they do is they kind of like suck the energy out of us, and there's no plan. So I think Alicia and Lloyd, what you're talking about is life plans for yourself and plans that spreads to plans for the community. They haven't, there's no plan. There's just...
what plans do you recommend, per se, just in based on that? Because I think that's a very good perception. So things can get on the right track. What would you, how do you
power,
see it?
Power. We live
economic
many of
power,
us,
power.
Political power, meaning, for example, the big cities, Detroit, Philadelphia, Newark, these are Jackson, Mississippi, Charlotte, North Carolina, these are big, Atlanta, these are big Black cities. Cities is where you live, die, eat, make your money, pay your taxes. Cities is where you live. There are cities of ours that we need to take the we need to be active and take the city. We need to retake Detroit. And once you do, once you take a city with a plan, the police or your servants, the police do what you want, and if they don't, you fire them, you prosecute them. The judges in the courts are all in the city. We are misdirected into not looking at power. Power is taking over cities. So, but in order to do that, we have to plan our lives for ourselves. We have to create leadership within ourselves, right, so that we can become leaders of ourselves and then become leaders of our community and then try to take back. For example, Kwame Kilpatrick. I think Alicia is very familiar with Detroit politics.
Yeah, the gentleman that was, what was he, the governor or something
mayor.
Like, or mayor?
Uh-huh.
Mayor.
And they
yeah.
Kind of, my feeling was they kind of set him up, so to speak.
Well, he set himself up. If you want to know,
but
he set himself
let's
up.
Not, right, let's not get too far away with it. But Reggie, finish what in terms of plan to going to Lloyd's question.
Yeah, you need
you
need life plans. Lloyd's issue is, what is the solution? The solution is power, but you have to develop personal power first, and then community power. But in order to do that, you need to understand, for this particular show, personal power. You need to know your strengths and your weaknesses. You need to know yourselves, and then you could become a leader. And if you could become a leader of yourself, you could become a leader of other people. So that's my two cents.
Makes sense.
Okay. Well, let me just, Reggie, let me address the Black Lives Matter. And everyone is entitled to their opinion. But first and foremost, I would like to stress that everyone do the research and go to blacklivesmatter.com to learn more about it, because there is such there's certain perceptions about it. People really, you know, don't know. So they really should look it up and see for themselves. Number one, it is a chapter-based national organization working for the validity of black life. And I'm reading directly from their website. They're working to rebuild the black liberation movement. They've created, or what they're doing is, what they've done is created a platform to discuss what's going on. And also, to your point, Reggie, a call to action. Now, one could disagree with how they go about it, but what they've done, they've extended this conversation. They've given, again, they've given a platform to talk about what's going on. So I think, you know, more and more people should understand what it's about, as opposed to making some of these crazy accusations about the Black Lives Movement, to your Black Lives Matter movement. But for what you're saying, there's some things that you disagree with, obviously, with Black Lives Matter, but let me again say that what they're doing and what they have done quite successfully is continue to open and further the discussion regarding black life. I'm just saying.
I don't disagree. I
Thank
joined
you.
The black movement. I agree that you should certainly look at it. It's certainly viable. I've been to a couple of the marches. I've seen it in action. Actually, my son was part of last year he was really kind of active, and so I kind of like was an escort. So I watched them move. I've seen the protests. They're not dissimilar from the protesters in the 60s. I think that they are. Everyone has a good mission statement, but who's the? Give me a leader of Black Lives Matter that is. I don't want to. I agree with you, Alicia. I'm not. I agree with action, but I also think that.
I agree with you. But the first thing is to either create a platform. And, of course, a call to action, whatever that action is, be it protesting or whatever. But that's what I like about them, again, is that they have a platform where you could allow your voice to be heard even more. So, baby, you don't have to agree with me. It's cool. We're all entitled to our opinions. But what my question to you is, in terms of letting go, one can perceive you, sweetheart, as being angry based on action, how you choose to deal with things or how you do things, whatever your actions are. There's another thing with being frustrated. But my question to you is, how or do you feel that you let go of things that frustrate, anger, disappoint you?
Well, I am not going to – I would want to talk about things general. I've been trained as an activist. I went to lots of protests. The last issue that I had was I got arrested during the Sean Bell rally detained during what people think. But with the police state, thought that even my voice or my leading people was not in their compliance, and so they said that I was creating a riot, citing a riot.
No.
So they detained me. So I would say I would say that our community needs guidance. When you're in a rally situation, people do specific things that are not necessarily organizational. And
mm-hmm.
And so when you go to some of these rallies, you'll see exactly what I mean. But so and
I've
then
gone
and then there's other.
I've gone to a couple, and to your point, you know, it was just a lot of anger, frustration. That's what basically came down to, and there was no organization. So, which is why I think it's so. Not that I think, I believe it's very important to learn how to let go and when to let go of those emotions so it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't rob you of your peace. It doesn't rob you of your state of mind when you're being called to action or when you want to act or react. I think it's, again, very important for us to start looking within. And one technique that I use on clients is when you have a certain emotion, let's say you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
You're angry about what's going on with police brutality. You're angry about it, and you've been angry for a while about it. So what can one do to feel differently, to feel at peace with it?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I do, and I'll keep this really brief, one thing that I'll do is I'll ask, how do you feel when you hear about a situation that involves police brutality? What is that feeling? Once they tell me what that feeling is, my next question is, how do you want to feel when you hear about a shooting or when you hear about someone of color being disrespected?
Mm-hmm.
Once they tell me how they feel, okay, then we go into a little trance, which starts off with a little deep breathing. And then I'll put them in that state to go back to that time where they had that negative feeling. And then I'll ask them to, okay, think of yourself feeling the way you want to feel. They'll meditate on that for a moment. And then I'll ask, okay, how do you feel if this were to happen tomorrow? How do you feel if this were to happen next week, next year? So what we're doing is kind of rewiring our brain to feel differently. And that's one way of letting go. So you don't have that anger. You don't get so emotional in it. You can say, you know what? Okay, this happened. It's upsetting. But what can I do to help initiate change? What can I do as a call to action to help, as opposed to continuing to beat a dead horse?
Well, here's my thing, too. Based upon that,
mm-hmm.
What about on the other side where you have certain people in law enforcement that have a misperception?
I love you for that.
Scared, I mean, that we're dangerous and whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
to maybe train them to psychologically go back.
Oh.
So when they see a person of color,
right,
that they don't have this perception like I feel this. And he said he was reaching for his wallet to be shot.
I love you with that.
Or to have a Sterling
right.
to not be shot.
Right, I love you for asking that.
Basically as a human being one to another until such time.
Oh, Lord, I love you for asking that because it would be a very similar technique where I would ask what this fear that you have, take me back to the first time that you felt fear
mm-hmm.
in the company of a black man. What happened? What was that initial feeling that you had when you first encountered a black person?
Mm-hmm.
What was that feeling? They'll describe that feeling. Okay, tell me how you want to feel. And we go back to that memory.
Mm-hmm.
And we insert that feeling there. So I would do that with those cops or anyone who has a certain fear of people, be it black, be it white, be it Hispanic, whatever. But that's one way to do it. Another technique, and Margo has discussed this a couple of times, is a tapping technique.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, for example, I would use this with a few clients. It's a letting go technique where with the tapping, and we call them emotional freedom techniques, what you would do is you would tap certain parts of your body, starting with the top of your head,
mm-hmm.
You take a deep breath. I always encourage this because it puts you in a very relaxed state. So there's some deep breathing. You tap the top of your head first, and you say something like, I let go of my fear. I replace with whatever you want that feeling to be. For example, I let go of my fear of black people. I feel safe around black men. I now feel safe. I love and accept myself. I love and accept black people. And you tap the top of your head, right over your left or right eye,
mm-hmm.
underneath your eye,
mm-hmm.
your mouth, throat, heart. So that's a technique that
maybe
I would
law enforcement could use some of
the
services.
Right, could use that, right?
Yeah.
But the first thing is to find out where that fear originated from,
mm-hmm.
and then go in through a trance, go in and replace that with something else. That's what
well,
it is.
First,
clearly.
I thought Margo can hypnotize me. Now Alicia is hypnotizing me. That's how I get it.
No, she's getting good. She's getting good. Watch this. Watch this.
You know.
No, but what Margo does is fantastic, and she's a hypnotist. I can do it, but it's more of a self hypnosis, and it's truly more about you just relaxing for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And going into that memory, feeling it, seeing it, smelling it, and replacing that emotion with another emotion, with another feeling.
Imagine
another
if
thought.
I would talk on both sides of the fence. What a difference it would make.
I know.
And I know it sounds silly to some people, would probably say, you know, but that would make a tremendous difference.
I know, and it works. These techniques really work. They help me tremendously. They help you.
Yeah.
It helps so many different people, but it truly helps. And then the other thing is that we have to keep in mind, and I know, you know, it's hard because as President Obama said himself, that we ourselves tend to judge people, which we do, based on our own biases, based on our own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing to do is, again, I say, look in the mirror, ask yourself, why do I feel this way about this particular group of people?
But I can tell you this, based upon what they're saying in early childhood,
mm-hmm.
these things are biases or what is called a learned behavior.
Absolutely. So we have to unlearn that behavior. We have to unlearn our feelings about cops. We have to unlearn our feelings about black men. We have unlearn our feelings about this person or that person or this situation or that.
Yes.
We have to start unlearning. Oh, my God. This
some
is
of the candidates stop unlearning.
I know. Donald Trump, oh, my God, this man becomes president. Wow. And I hope that maybe we're all wrong and maybe, just maybe, it might be good for the country in terms of bringing us together. It's hard for me to believe that with some of the things he said, such as, I believe, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but I heard something about him saying that President Obama and the Black Lives Matter movement are dividing us, are dividing the country. Are you kidding me?
The notion of wanting to define or redefine Black Lives Matter, terrorist group, if they do that, I would insist that the KKK definitely become a terrorist organization too.
This is crazy. I've said this since I was whatever age when I first understood that we were looked at differently as a race. What is it about black people? What is it about us where people think that we're inferior?
What is this notion?
But I understand people like to feel, all people, well, most people, for some reason, like to feel superior to someone else, be it by race, be it by sexual orientation.
Well, actually,
that
is an indication of their, shall we say, insecurity. Because actually, the oldest person found on the planet happens to be in Africa. So if you look at our origin, actually there is no reason for us, but the way it is taught, the way it is projected, that thus there are people who feel that they are better than us when that is really, really not true.
Absolutely. And well, the one way to divide people, the one way to divide people is to instill fear,
and
first and foremost. There you go. Reggie, what were you going to say, babe?
Well, unfortunately, our white neighbors have been conditioned to feel entitled. And they
exactly.
And that they don't want to lose their entitlement. And their entitlement means
entitled
that
to what,
we comply.
Entitled to what exactly?
High five.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we be compliant. You know, we live in New York City and past 110th Street. Then with all the property, there's very few, if any, black-owned property. That's their entitlement. Their entitlement is that they like their lifestyles. They don't want to see us. And they want us to serve us. They want us to serve them. Right?
Yeah.
That notion is crazy to me. It's like, it's almost like I want these group of people right here to serve me because I feel that I am the superior or I feel that I'm the best. What makes you the best exactly? Because if you go back to history and how this country became what it is, you know, all the murdering, all the killing, which basically Thanksgiving is somewhat based on.
Mm-hmm.
If you know your history, and I'm a history teacher, but if you guys just went back and did your research to understand the meaning behind Thanksgiving. I'm not talking about family. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about how this country came to be because this country was taken away from Native Americans, I'm
yeah.
just saying.
So, indigenous people of this country.
Exactly. So, Reggie, I'm sorry. What were we going to say before I go into
I agree. So the issue is that, yes, we all have to, if this country is going to be successful, all people have to relearn things. But the people in power, they don't want to give up their power. They make money in their sleep. They make their money in their sleep on fear. Fear drives the stock market up and down. Getting back to your original point about, you know, letting go, we need management. We need personal management skills so that we, and the better we get, the more sophisticated we can get. But right now, we just need to learn techniques.
That's true. Let me just say this before I go to Loy for a moment. The one thing that I believe that we have to ask ourselves is, if I continue to wallow in this fear, to wallow in this anger, to wallow in this frustration, I'm going to continue to self-sabotage.
I would agree with that.
We only have one life. One life. Why would you want to live in fear, in frustration, in anger? Things happen. I understand that. Horrible things happen. We can feel it, and we can let go. And to your point, Reggie, we can act. But first, we have to act with ourselves first. And then figure out how you can contribute positively to change for the world. Just saying.
You know, it's interesting. As I was coming here for tonight's show, I was hearing about and I think it's in Paris,
mm-hmm.
where a truck driver ran into people and killed at least 30 people. And I'm saying, what was in his mindset that he would be that angry? Not understanding if you do this, there are going to be serious consequences.
Some people
to
don't
do that. And I'm trying to.
Yeah,
it makes absolutely
think.
No sense.
Some people don't think
it's personal management.
Yep, there you go. And we got to. We have
very
to start
good.
Being.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to start being aware. President Obama mentioned that in his town hall meeting discussion tonight. To be more aware. To be more aware of your fears. More aware, and I'm adding this, more aware of your shortcomings, more aware of your frustration, your insecurities.
Definitely.
Be aware of it. Be aware, folks. But, Loy, we mentioned this earlier, and unfortunately we don't have a lot of time, so you got to have to go through this quickly. Tell me the signs, because this numerology and astrology I am such a fan of. what is it, which signs are more apt to letting go of things?
I would say more the fire signs. They're very passionate and driven. For people born on the 9th, the 18th, or the 27th, those are fire numbers, to speak their peace and keep it moving.
I am on the 18th.
And I'll call her, listen, those born on the 9th, okay?
Whoa.
But it is the water side, see, because water metaphysically represents emotion. So numerically, those are 2s and 7s. For all the water signs in astrology, but they're always exceptions. So that's like saying all water sign people are afraid to let go, and all fire signs are fire numbers. So it varies. It's a case-by-case basis.
Well, let me just say, and I've said this in past shows, and I'm sticking by it, some damn Pisces. I have yet to meet a Pisces who has not let go. They still hold on to whatever pain, whatever resentment, whatever disappointment, they still hold on to it. But are quick to accuse somebody else of not letting go. Isn't that deep?
Yes, it is.
Just saying. Now, what signs, and I know...
Mostly the water signs, of which would be Cancer.
Damn Pisces.
And then Pisces, those are all water signs. But, you know, in a way, they're being true to themselves, because with emotions, you... attached. That's why when a person becomes emotionally involved, you can tell them, and all the common sense in the world goes right out the window. So it doesn't have to be the water sign as so much as when people's emotions are caught into a situation.
This is true, and I'm poking
and
a lot of fun at
all the signs and all the numbers.
That's true, and I'm poking a lot of, you know, a lot of fun at Pisces, but I know of Virgos, you know, certain Virgos that have a damn hard time of
and
letting go.
And I have had the experience of doing this a long time, that no matter what the sign, no matter what the number, there will always be those who, for whatever reason, find it hard to let go, will never want to let go. And yet, that's the only way we can grow, by letting go.
Absolutely. Lloyd, thank you for saying that.
High five.
High five. In order to grow, we have to
let go. That's the whole essence of this theme tonight.
Exactly. Bad relationships, toxic people. Just because you walk away doesn't mean that you don't care.
And stereotypes of one group versus another.
Right, and stereotypes. But in terms of relationships and people, letting go doesn't mean that you no longer care. You care enough to let go. Because at the end of the day, you are the most important person in your life.
Better believe it.
Again, you are the most important person in your life. Lloyd, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thank our caller.
I know. Thank you, Reggie.
David's contribution. And, I mean, he's very, very insightful.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And we also, Margo, we miss you. She's traveling
we'll
right now.
We'll have her back in the not-so-distant future.
Exactly. Margo, we miss you. Thank you for listening to Confessions of a Pretty Hot Chick After Dark. Thank you guys for listening. And, again, when to let go, when to let go. When it's getting to a
how
point
how can people in the remaining seconds reach out to you for coaching and stuff, as you did,
reach out to me on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram, Alicia Marie Rivers. Reach out to me on Facebook.
What was that again? Where they can reach out to
you? They can reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Alicia@prettyhotchick.com. Alicia@prettyhotchick.com. Thank you guys for listening. Letting go, please, before you self-destruct, okay? You self-destruct. I'm just saying. Good night, guys. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Good night.
Thank you
see
for
you
listening.
Next week.
Exactly. And make sure you listen to Jill Scott. I'm prettier when I let go. I'm more beautiful when I let shit go. And you are more beautiful when
said,
you let
go.
But
it's safe.
But that's basically
safe.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a wonderful night. Bye.